You are now listening to the Unshakable Health Podcast with Dr. Thomas Hemingway. All right, another week we are approaching. Well, we are actually, what do you mean approaching? It is now crazy. We're into March. Holy moly. I had to look at my watch because every day is just an amazing, great, beautiful day. And I somehow occasionally lose track of the days. But I'm so grateful to be here with you. It is March. It is sometimes feeling like spring, other times very much like winter. I just had the opportunity to go down to the Dominican Republic, and it was like Hawaii. It was like 80 and beautiful, and the water was 80. It was like the perfect temperature. I got to slip my shoes off, and I don't think I wore them other than to play tennis in the mornings, and the rest of the time I was pretty much barefoot. It was amazing. I did so much grounding. Wish I could just put that in the bank because I am back in Utah right now this week, and it is cold, and it is actually snowing right now. We have, oh my gosh, seems like 10 feet of snow on the ground. The snow banks are over our heads, and we're nowhere near last year where we had nearly 900 inches, but we just broke 400 last week, so we're pumped about that. And it is beautiful. It's white. It is crispy cold, and I am just loving life. Every day is a great day for a great day, and I am so grateful to be here with you. So thank you for sharing a little moment of your day with me. It is you that I just love to hear from, to be able to know how much you're loving, learning, appreciating. So if you have not already dropped a review over there on Apple, make sure you do that on Apple Podcasts. Scroll down to the bottom where you see the five stars. Click on the one farthest to the right and then drop a review. Type in a little something that you're loving, that you're learning, that you're appreciating. And I read every one of those, 100% of those. Also, a review over there on Amazon where I have my book, Preventable, Five Powerful Practices to Avoid Disease and Build Unshakable Health, would be so greatly appreciated because that's what helps move the needle. That's how more people find out about this amazing work that we're doing. So thank you, thank you, thank you in advance for that. And I just appreciate you being here. I'm so pumped this week because I have a topic that I think just about all of you, if not everyone, everybody who's human should be interested in. It is super cool, cool science that I'm about to share with you, and it'll help explain what the heck is going on present day with society, because we sadly are gaining weight and the trajectory is not good. It is crazy how quickly this is happening, and we have young people, young children rapidly gaining weight, getting type 2 diabetes, for example, and all of these health conditions that are plaguing society, many of them have to do with weight gain. And so we're going to jump into this week what causes weight gain, what is happening with this trend that is occurring right now in our country, sadly, and also spilling over to the whole world. And so we're going to get into that in just a sec. But firstly, I just wanted to take a moment again to thank you for being here. Thank you for being a part of the show. And if you want more of this amazing info, make sure you're following over there on Instagram, Dr. Thomas Hemingway, Dr. Thomas Hemingway over there on Facebook, Thomas Hemingway MD. If you want to be a part of my amazing live Zoom calls that I do with my Thrive community, make sure you check out the link over there on Instagram for my Thrive community. You can join that and join a lot of like-minded people and get regular info from me. You can be part of a group chat. You can ask me questions. You can be on our live calls. It's super fun. We just had an amazing call this past weekend where we talked about one of my favorite things, which is grounding and the science behind it. We got nitty gritty deep. I shared a bunch of personal experience, answered a bunch of questions. It was a lot of fun. So if you want to be part of that community, click on the link over there on Instagram or here in the show notes. We would be happy to have you there. And make sure if you haven't already, you've grabbed a copy of my book, Preventable, because we do deep dive and most of the topics that I love to share about here on the podcast. There's even a bunch of data on this very topic, which is weight gain, which is this week's podcast, in my Preventable book. So check that out. It's over there on Amazon. Super easy to get. Make sure you grab one. And without further ado, I am so pumped to jump into this episode. This episode, I will be sharing what the heck is happening in society today with our weight. What is going on? We are gaining weight at a rapid rate, quicker than any period of history ever before. And sadly, right now, the trend is not planned. It's not suspected. It's not thought to change in the next few years. In fact, by the year 2035, it is estimated that more than half of the entire world will not only be overweight, but obese, which is crazy. It is crazy, crazy, crazy stuff. Right now, we're at about 40 some odd percent. In the U.S., we are approaching 44% of us are obese and nearly 70% are overweight. 7 out of 10 of us are overweight. And this did not used to be the case. This did not used to be the case. In fact, in my book, I talk all about this data, which sort of show these trends. And what's crazy is in the year 2002, that was only 20 years ago. Well, 22, I guess. But in the year 2002, it was 25% of the U.S. were considered obese. And that number has almost doubled, We were at like 44.8% of us present day, especially in my age group, in the middle age group, are not only overweight, but obese, which is crazy. And this is basically if your BMI, your body mass index, is greater than 30, it falls within the obese range. Overweight is between 25 and 30, and 18 to 25 is within the normal range. So this is crazy. This growth is not good. It's not the trajectory that we want. In fact, just about every single health condition out there increases in incidence with weight gain. Everything from heart disease to cancer, autoimmune diseases, you name it, all of these things increase with weight gain. My personal thought on this, my theory, if you will, is that all of these conditions, whether it be type 2 diabetes, whether it be cardiovascular disease, heart attack, strokes, etc., cancer, even autoimmune diseases, these are all inflammatory diseases. They are diseases which have at the root inflammation. And interestingly enough, obesity or being overweight, weight gain causes increased inflammation. I don't think this is just an accident. I don't think this is just, you know, one of these things that's accidental. I really think that they have something to do with each other. Inflammation is something that is found in obesity. In fact, the fat cells themselves, called the adipocytes, they secrete cytokines and adipokines, and they cause inflammation. I did an amazing podcast. Gosh, it seems like just yesterday, with the amazing Dr. Benjamin Bickman, who literally studied fat cells for his PhD. Like, he knows more about the fat cell than probably anyone else on the planet. So if you haven't listened to that podcast, gosh, it's been about 2 years now. It was called The Root of All Disease, or The Most Common Health Condition, something like that. And it was about 2 years ago. If you want the link, I would be happy to send that to you. Drop me a message over there on Instagram, Dr. Thomas Hemingway. In this podcast, he shared about how our fat tissue, our adipocytes, if you will, these are the fat cells, how they send chemical messengers. They send hormonal messages. It's actually an endocrine tissue. And as they grow, these fat cells grow, they secrete inflammatory cytokines. They literally can cause inflammation. And as I mentioned, every disease basically goes up in its incidence with increasing weight or weight gain. This is not coincidence. This is science. And at the root of all of this, like I mentioned, is inflammation. And increasing both size and number of these adipocytes, these fat cells, increases the amount of inflammatory mediators that they secrete, causing increased inflammation. In fact, if you were to take a look, just a random sample of a bunch of adults, and looked at those that were normal weight, those that were overweight and obese, you would see a correlation between inflammation, generally speaking, within these weight categories. As you increase in weight, you generally tend to have more inflammation. And this is often measured by something in the blood called CRP, CRP, that is C-reactive protein. And now we have a super sensitive one called the HS-CRP, highly sensitive CRP. And if you've never had yours measured, you should consider it because this is a great marker for inflammation. And inflammation puts you at risk for all these diseases, especially heart disease, for example, which is a highly inflammatory disease. Heart disease, cancer, all these things. You want to know what's under the hood, right? You want to know your level. So you should check this with your doctor, with your care provider, if you haven't already. Some of the most important tests to be checked are not often checked, like a fasting insulin, for example, super important test to check, as well as this test, this marker for inflammation called highly sensitive CRP, HSCRP. And what I want to share with you today is a study that came out a couple of years ago, which I think is very insightful to what is causing this obesity and this weight gain that we are seeing so dang commonplace present day. In fact, that 7 or more out of 10, over 70% of us here in the US are overweight, and 40 some odd percent are obese. And this number keeps getting larger. This is even impacting our kids. Our children are rapidly on this terrible trajectory, showing they are increasing in weight and they are increasing in their incidence of disease, like type 2 diabetes, for example. And this article came out in a very, very trusted, reputable scientific journal, Cell, which is one of my favorites to read. I love reading Cell. I love reading Science. The Lancet, for example, New England Journal. These are all great, reputable medical literature. And this one is by Kevin Hall, who did this amazing study, which was actually pretty simple, but he looked at what was happening with a processed foods diet versus a whole foods diet. And in his study, super, super simple. He had I think it was about 20 or 40 adults, and he went through, and each of them got to do either the processed foods diet or the whole foods diet for 2 weeks apiece. And so they rotated, and for the first 2 weeks, half of them did the processed food diet, and then those that did that, the second 2 weeks, they did the whole foods diet, and they swapped. And so they got to experience each of the two diets. And what he found was super interesting, because these folks basically were given, you know, this diet, and they were allowed to eat, you know, essentially what they wanted. Ad lib, they call it, right? Ad libitum, which is basically they got to eat what they wanted to. You know, they didn't have a restriction on how many calories they could eat. They had the food available to them. They got to eat. And what was super interesting, and I think very telling, and in fact, one of the reasons we have so much weight gain and obesity throughout the world, is that in the processed foods diet group, they ate on average 500 additional kilocalories per day, which averaged out to about a 1 pound weight gain per week. And it was up to them. It was up to them to eat. And what was interesting is these highly processed foods diet, they didn't tell them to eat more. They didn't tell them to eat less. But what happened was they ate more calories. On average, 500 more calories per day, accounting of about a 1 pound weight gain per week. And then the opposite happened when they were on the whole foods diet. They ate 500 calories less, and they actually lost on average 1 pound a week. So super, super interesting. You just can't make this stuff up. The only difference was in the diet, whether it was a whole foods versus a processed foods. They were allowed to eat to their, you know, proverbial heart's content. There wasn't anybody saying, oh, you got to stop now. You got to stop now. But what's super interesting is that by nature, these processed foods, which sadly right now here in the US, we are like 60 some odd, I think it's almost 67% of our diet here in the United States of America comprised of a highly processed foods diet. Literally 2/3 of our diet. And so what happens when we eat a diet like this is we eat more calories. So duh, what do you think is going to happen? You eat more calories, you're going to gain weight. Like in this study by Kevin Hall, 1 pound per week they gained on this processed foods diet. It was that simple. And if you want to get down deep into the weeds, what's really happening is these foods, the highly processed foods, they are very much something we crave, right? We can't just put them down. You have your favorite salty, crunchy snack, and they promote it in the commercial. You can't eat just one, right? It doesn't matter what it is, a Dorito, a Tostito, a Cheeto, whatever, even a Cheerio, whatever. All these things, they are engineered to make you want to eat more and more. Something about the crunchy. They've even done studies on this. When you have something crunchy, it could be a year old, it could be 2 years old, but as long as it's crunchy, you think it's fresh. It doesn't even matter. It's crunchy, it's salty. And they literally have food scientists which make this stuff highly, highly just, you know, you just want it desirable. You crave it like crazy, and you can't just stop with just one chip or just one whatever, one Oreo cookie, whatever the thing is. It's difficult to eat just one, right? And that's the way they make it. It's engineered that way. It's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. If you sit down and you eat the whole bag of chips, that's common. That's the way it was designed. It's not your fault. You don't have lack of willpower. It's science. So what do? When you're at the grocery store, you just don't buy the chips in the first place, right? You just don't bring them home. You don't have those processed foods in your house, right? So one of the very most interesting things I find from this Kevin Hall study is that these foods, the highly processed ones, which right now, present day, sadly comprise 2/3 of our standard American diet, or what I like to refer to affectionately as the SAD diet, right? S-A-D, standard American diet, the SAD diet, are processed foods. We eat too many of them. And kids, it's up to 70% of their diet. And I know this firsthand because I got a couple of kids in elementary school, and they show me on the calendar what's for school lunch. And they have crazy things like the Wow, you know, peanut butter and jelly sandwich that doesn't even look like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's got like this rainbow infusion of jelly and peanut butter. And it looks super weird. Like to me, I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird. This doesn't even look like food, but this is what they're feeding our kids. This highly processed diet, which guess what it's going to do? It's going to make them want to eat more calories. And so what will happen if they eat more calories? Well, they will gain weight. And this is shown right now, present day in the data. More of our children are overweight than ever before. More of them have type 2 diabetes than ever before. More of them are becoming obese than ever before. More of them are having autoimmune disease than ever before. Are you starting to see the trend here? Yeah, like I mentioned at the outset, this trajectory is not good. It is continuing to go up our weight here as a society, and that will continue to increase basically the incidence of nearly every disease out there, from cancer to heart disease, diabetes, dementia, Alzheimer's. All the neurodegenerative conditions are more common with increasing weight and with obesity. So what can we do? What can we do? Well, first things first, it all starts, like I say in my book, Preventable, it all starts at the tip of your fork, right? But even before then, it starts at the grocery store. So if at the grocery store, you shop on the perimeter and you largely avoid those center aisles, which have all that boring, you know, white, brown, gray colored foods that are literally high in calories and very low in nutrition. If you avoid those things, all the breads, the cereals, the grains, the pasta, all of these snack foods, the delectable cookies, crackers, chips, whatever they are in that center area of the grocery store, if you avoid those and shop largely on the perimeter where you get the whole, the real, the single ingredient whole foods, you're going to be much better off, because guess what? On average, you're going to eat 500 calories less per day just by eating real whole foods. Actually, I wanted to share with you something else I thought was super interesting in the Kevin Hall article from Cell back in 2019. It says that they also found something else very interesting. Let me just read this. It says, I had to read this twice because I thought, gosh, that's very interesting. It says energy intake was greater during the ultra-processed diet. That's what I shared with you. Increased consumption of primarily carbohydrates, but not protein. So they were allowed to eat whatever they wanted. They had the diet there for them. They got to eat how much until they were satisfied, what have you. But in that processed food diet, not only did they eat up to 500 calories more per day on average, but this largely consisted of increased carbohydrates. Even though they could and it was available to them, they did not eat increased protein. Very interesting, because you know what happens when you start your meal with protein? This is why I always recommend you eat your protein first. If you're going to have some carbs, that's cool. Make sure they're natural, real, single ingredient carbs, whether they be vegetables, fruits, you know, something grown in the ground, something that's real, that's not processed. I'm all for that. Like, I eat carbs every single day. I'm not a zero carb guy. I do tend to fall in a lower carb camp than most of us because I only like to eat the real whole foods. And those, the veggies, the very colorful fruits, etc., have way less carbs on average than the crap in that standard American diet we talked about. So here's the thing. Protein, when you start your day and when you start your meal with protein, guess what it does? It satiates you. It satiates you. It decreases that amount of ghrelin, that hunger hormone that makes you always want to eat, and satisfies you, and it gets the leptin there. So it's telling your brain, hey, you don't need to eat anymore. You're satisfied. Start your meal with protein. There's actually a lot of studies, a lot of separate data looking specifically at protein intake. And those that start their day with protein, they find that on average, they eat less calories per meal and less calories per day than those that are eating more in the carbohydrates and the fats, because the protein really satisfies. It's not the Snickers that satisfies, like I learned as a kid, right? I used to carry a Snickers bar in my backpack. I thought that thing really satisfied. That thing does the opposite. You eat that thing, it's full of highly processed carbs. 1 to 2 hours later, you have this big drop in your blood sugar. This is not you, weird, and you have this problem of hypoglycemia. There's nothing wrong with you. It's science. It's called reactive postprandial, after you eat, hypoglycemia. And that's what happens when you eat a load of carbohydrates. It's just normal. It's natural. Your body is trying to protect you, right? It doesn't like to see this huge surge in glucose. So it dumps a bunch of insulin to bring that glucose, that blood sugar down. And sometimes it overshoots a little bit. And so you have that little dip an hour or so after a meal. And you're like, oh my gosh, I'm kind of hangry. I need another one of those quick bites of whatever. For me, in my day, it was the Snickers that I thought really satisfies. And once I figured this out, that it did not really satisfy, it did not provide me any real gains for the long term, I dumped it. I haven't had a Snickers bar in more than a decade. And this simple truth, this metabolic truth of when you start your meal, start your day with protein, it does really satisfy. And you actually really need protein. It is, I would present that it is the single most important macronutrient. You have to have your protein. You also have to have some healthy fats like the omega-3s, a little bit of cholesterol for your brain health, or the healthy cholesterol like that's found in eggs. Yes, I said it, eggs have cholesterol and they're good for you. They may just be the original, the OG superfood. They have choline, which is great for the brain. And our brains are actually made up primarily of fat and cholesterol. And that can be found in an egg, hopefully a pasture-raised, you know, egg that's healthy and nice and bright orange because it has that nutritious yolk in it. And it's so good for you. Plus, it has protein too. Can't go wrong. Natural superfood. The natural egg. Now, if you're egg allergic, obviously you want to avoid them. But for those of us that aren't, one of the OG superfoods right there, protein packed as well as healthy cholesterol and choline and other nutrients for brain health, is the simple, simple pasture raised egg. Very simple, very simple. So here's the thing. Start your day with protein, and that is the best place to get going because you will satisfy quicker. You'll be full and satiated quicker. It will help you to achieve what the Japanese have known for millennia, this concept and principle of harahachibu, which is that you only eat until you're 80% full. You don't overstuff yourself. And when you start with protein, it's actually very easy to do. You don't really feel like eating a whole bunch of food at the end of the meal. In fact, if you start your meal with the protein, you're likely not going to ever want that bread basket, right? They do it in the U.S. and I don't know about other places, completely wrong. They serve you that bread basket first because it spikes your blood glucose and insulin so that while you're sitting there during your meal, guess what? You're going to crave and want to eat more, just like in that study done by Kevin Hall that I shared at the beginning in Cell of 2019, where he showed that when you eat highly processed foods like breads that they serve in the restaurant, you're going to eat more. You're going to want that dessert at the end because you might be starting to have that dip already in your blood sugar after that big load of bread in the beginning. You'll be starting to maybe dip because you overshot with the insulin. And when they bring around that dessert menu, you're like, absolutely, why not? Right? And so it plays to their bottom line, but not to yours, because yours will grow. Your adipocytes will increase in size, right? Your fat cells will love that extra caloric intake, which was what Kevin Hall was showing us in that very simple study where he allowed people to eat ad libitum what they wanted to out of the highly processed diet versus the whole foods diet. And both groups got to try both diets. And basically, universally, they found that with that processed food diet, they gained weight up to about a pound a week, and they ate on average 500 calories more per day. This is not rocket science here. It's simple math. If you are eating a highly processed foods diet, you are eating more calories. You are eating more calories. Doesn't matter what you do exercise-wise, you're eating more calories, you're going to gain weight. Because it's going to be hard to keep up, right? That whole dictum that your doctor may have told you, oh, well, just try to exercise more. It doesn't really matter what you eat. Well, how are we doing with that? How is that working out right now for society? Is that working out? This whole doesn't matter what you eat, just got to move your body and exercise? It is not working out. And it's this simple science of the highly processed food diet, which makes us eat more calories. It simply makes us eat more. Plus, beyond that, it causes more inflammation. And there's even another portion of that that may be triggering us to desire more, not only just the cravings part that these food scientists are planning on, right? The dopamine rush that we get when we have that smooth, creamy ice cream or that salty, crunchy chip or whatever that is. Beyond that, our brain is sensing that calories are coming in, but they're empty. There's not much nutrition there. And the brain is going, shoot, I need nutrition. And so I guess I just got to keep eating more food because eventually I'm going to get that nutrition, right? The brain just knows what it sees. And if we're only seeing empty calories, like what comes in these highly processed foods, we're missing out on the nutrition. The brain and the body, they want nutrition. And when they don't see much coming in, all they know to do is say, hey, eat more. And maybe eventually you'll get that nutrition. It's actually quite simple. It's not you. You're not being weak. You don't have lack of willpower. It's the foods that you're eating are controlling the way that your metabolism is working or not working very well. And then there's other factors, your gut health, for example, the microorganisms that live in that stretch of colon largely that tell your brain literally what to eat. There's bacteria down there that love salty, crunchy, processed foods. They love it because why? When you eat that, they grow, they proliferate. They start to outnumber the good bacteria down there that do good stuff for you, right? That produce vitamins like vitamin K. And there's plenty of cool stuff that you're, you know, the B vitamins, many of them can be produced by the gut if you have that good bacteria. But when we feed the not so good bacteria, they tell the brain to eat more of the crap food, the junk foods, the snack foods. And so this is science. This is them, the bacteria, sabotaging us because of our food choices. And actually, it can change really quick. It's amazing. I've seen this time and time again, dozens of times, thousands of times in my career with many of the folks I've worked with, that as soon as you break that cycle, you stop that highly processed standard American sad diet and you replace it with whole foods, the single ingredient stuff, right, that you recognize that doesn't need a label with 20, 30 things, you replace it with real whole foods. Just like in this Kevin Hall study, you start to lose weight. These folks lost a pound a week just simply by changing the diet to whole foods rather than processed foods. It was that easy. But what they were also changing, and not mentioned in the study, they didn't do it long enough, they were changing the makeup of their gut to have more of these healthy, helpful bacteria, right? Those that are actually adding to our health rather than detracting from it. The bifidobacteria that are amazing, the lactobacilli, these bacteria that can help us in so many ways, they're adding to them as we eat real whole foods, especially the natural ones that come from the fields, right? The healthy vegetables, the healthy fruits, the healthy fibrous foods that we eat, these add to that microbiota that wants to help us. And so it can be simple. It can be that easy. This sort of global epidemic, I think, right now that's occurring of weight gain, it's not complicated. It's not complicated. It starts at the grocery store in our basket or cart, and ultimately at the tip of our fork with what we decide to do there. Whether we eat the whole, real, single ingredient foods or the highly processed ones, it can make all the difference. It's that easy. And then if you want to get that effect even, you know, more beneficial to your body, you just move every day, right? We've talked about this. Move your body after every meal. 10 minutes, something simple. And that 10 minutes will do more for your body, for your waistline, for your insulin resistance, for your hormonal balances than if you did 30 minutes all at once. In fact, most of us, you know, it's hard to find 30 consecutive minutes in the day, but we can usually find 5 or 10 right after a meal, and it'll actually affect us even more positively. It's very interesting how this works out, but that's how the science of it is. It actually is more beneficial to break that up, and I think easier to do, frankly. So I try to get out for a walk or do some exercise, do anything, even if it's cold and snowing. We do dance parties in the house after a meal, which we're about to have dinner here. We're going to do a little dance party because it's stinking cold out there. So whatever that is to move your body after a meal, so beneficial. And then you add in quality 7 or 8 hours of sleep, stress optimization, and you will be golden. And you will find that it's the little things done repeatedly that can make a world of difference. And if you want more on this, all of this is detailed in my book, Preventable: 5 Powerful Practices to Avoid Disease and Build Unshakable Health. And it's got all the data, all that fun stuff that we've been talking about, and very simple tools that you can use to live your best life starting now, starting today. love you guys. I love that you're here, that you're loving, learning, and growing in your mind, in your health, in your life, that you are charging after these principles, that you want to get healthier, you want to feel better, you want to have the vitality to get up each and every day with energy and just wanting to live your best life, because that's what this is all about. This is the movement of natural health and tools, tips, and tricks that are available to you for free. It's very simple stuff, right? We talked about it. You just eat real food. You move your body. You get a little rest and exercise in every single day. You get good sleep. Grab this book if you don't have it already, Preventable. It is a great roadmap. It is simple. I promise you, it has all the data, has all the science, but it is in a simple, understandable way, and you will love it. So if you haven't gotten it yet, go out and grab it. Grab it for your friends and family. It can really move the needle. And if you want more of me, you want to be part of the community, the Thrive community, where we strive to thrive each and every day, check out the link over there in the show notes as well as on my Instagram bio. I'd love to have you there. So until next time, I appreciate you. I love you. I am so grateful you are here. So grateful you are investing in yourself and your health. And life is good. The future is great. We can do something about reversing this trend. And I can't wait to see you there with me. Aloha.